Hi, how are you? Checking in. Are you taking care of yourself? Things feel really hard right now, so I hope that you are. But this next episode, this is an episode with a good friend of mine, TJ Foster. We honestly kind of like met and bonded. I'm still not sure how we got like to be such fast friends as we have, but we basically have bonded over sending some pretty sassy voice memos back and forth to each other about actually some really deep, hard shit. So, yeah, I've just been really lucky to kind of find a friend and confidant in him over the last year or so. So then we got to sit down and kind of talk about some hard stuff. There is a real moment in here that took my breath away, and I couldn't even like respond on mic. Like I just was like, we need to talk about this later. And we did. But this is one of the episodes I've recorded thus far that has a song in it. So, and it's this beautiful song that I heard TJ do. We played a gig together and I heard him sing this song and I was like, can you please play that song again? Cause I loved it so much and I think about it all the time now. So, yeah, that's, I guess your cue to listen all the way through to the end. Cause there's a really, really beautiful moment. And he sings this really, really beautiful song. And I still think about it. I still think about it. I still think about that moment to this day. So, yeah, oof. I can't stop. Yeah. But it's, yeah, TJ is just one of those lovely, wonderful people who writes really good music. That's like really good, like, I don't even want, like protest songs, you know, that he like hides under this kind of like, emo pop punk like early 2000s vibe that I'm just obsessed with. So go find him and his music and listen to it because it's good stuff. And I hope you enjoy this episode.
Talking to normal people.
Oh my God. Okay. I think we're good.
That's great.
Okay. I feel like you're like, I'm like a child and you're like letting me ride my bike for the first time alone. Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we're having a conversation. That's kind of the point. He was like, well, like I usually would like sit in this chair. And I'm like, no. I need everyone to be on this couch with me.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It's literally therapy. It's not therapy.
Okay.
Legally, I don't think I can
legally,
say that it's therapy.
Not therapy.
Legally, this is not therapy. But illegally, we're having a therapeutic like chat.
Love it.
Also, okay.
Kind.
Okay. So.
Yes.
So you literally walked in here today and Anne and I both looked at you and said, congratulations. And you said, for what?
That is accurate.
It is Friday, May 2nd. The
yes.
Eddies were Sunday. So you literally just won two major awards. A major award.
A major award.
And you already forgot.
let's rub that in a little further.
I know,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. No.
But you just looked at me and then you were like, it's been a week.
Time is very strange nowadays. I feel like it just, I don't know when anything happened.
Yeah.
So yeah, yeah, it has only really been 5 days.
That's wild.
But yeah.
How does it feel? How did it feel on Sunday?
It felt really good.
Good.
It was like kind of one of those things that completely took me by surprise, 100%.
Aww.
No lie.
I wasn't surprised at all.
So, well, thank you. So going up there, I feel like I was like, I don't remember what I said or anything. I was just kind of in shock and I
yes.
was like, just kind of rattling things off. I
yes.
was like,
just blacked out.
Yeah. So
you all did thank your wives though, which I loved so much.
That
yeah.
was the most important thing. I was
mm-hmm.
like, I knew that had to be top of mind, but there was
yes.
like, you know, so many other people you want to thank always that you can't.
All the time.
But,
yeah, I know. That was like me last year too. I just like went up and I was like,
Well, then you got another chance.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, the Metroland one
was
especially surprising in that respect because, you know, we all went up there, which was the plan, but
yeah,
figured Aaron was just going to talk and then
yeah.
like 5 seconds before I spoke, she's like, Aaron said, yeah, you should say something. Go say something. I was like, oh,
oh.
I wasn't prepared for this. So,
oh
yeah. No idea. But
yes.
Okay.
But that was amazing. It was so awesome to like see all of you up there and like doing that whole thing together because your whole thing has just been so. I feel like watching you guys grow that thing has just been such a like, I'm motioning with my hands because I'm Italian and that's terrible for a podcast. But it's been such a like, just like, cohesive unit, you know, like that has been a very clear thing from an outsider's perspective. So then for
that's
all of
awesome.
You to like go up and get it together was like, oh, this is fitting, like it should be this way.
That's awesome. And that's what I always thought too, and I'm glad that Aaron was like on board with that because that's the idea. It really has been such a huge team effort, right? And like I look at some of these writers that I work with, and I'm just I have imposter syndrome sometimes. Like why am I the one like editing your work? Like,
TJ,
it's really awesome.
But also, Aaron has told me that you are like really good about like hunting people down, because she said that she did one issue where like you weren't there for the weekend whenever and like when it was supposed to come out, and she was just like, TJ is doing this, like this is what TJ is fucking doing. So it's also just like you're the person getting them all together, which is like huge, because like it couldn't happen without you know what I mean.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and she's expressed that before too, and it's really that's one of like the best things about this, is it's such a rewarding environment. Like obviously it's we're running a publication, right? So it has its stressful moments,
yeah,
because you know, there's things you want to just go and get out quick, and there's lots of things that are in motion at all times. But no matter what happens, it's always like at the end of the day, it's like fulfilling. It's like you can look back and be like, oh, I did something really cool today.
Yeah, like if that's your job, hell yeah! I did something really cool today. Yeah, yes.
And just to be like appreciated, I think is a really good feeling, because yes, I've experienced it firsthand. Like you don't always get that in a professional environment. Yeah. So
oh my god,
that's what this is too. It's a professional place, even though we're doing really fun, cool shit.
Oh yeah, but it's also like it's very professional even from the outside. Like I'm looking in on it, like this is so fucking together and so cool. Like Andy and I talked about it too, like just like the everything, like you guys post it and then you're like, oh, of course that's Metroland. Like you can tell by the color, you can tell by the font, you can tell by like it's just like, oh, it's like before I even like I scroll through Instagram and it pops up and I'm like, oh, it's Metroland, before I even see your name in the top, you know what I mean? Like
I don't know if Kiki is ever gonna hear this, but you will just absolutely make her world with that comment, because that was like the whole thing. I have zero to do with that. I can take absolutely no credit.
That's what
for
Andy
that.
Said too. Andy but said the same thing. He's like, not me, it's all Kiki. Yeah.
That's awesome though. I'm glad it's coming through from the outside perspective, and I love that you say like it's so like put together and stuff, because Aaron and I talk about this all the time. It's really funny. It's like we have no idea what the fuck we're doing. Technically, we're just going for it.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
And huge credit to her, because she's doing all the behind the scenes, like the businessy stuff, and just going for it.
It's wild.
Like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But she's making it happen.
I also feel like no one does
that, you know, that's
about anything ever, you know, like I just feel like that's what I'm learning as I get old, is that everyone's just like, I don't know, actually, like your parents didn't know, their parents didn't know, their bosses didn't know, you know, like no one fucking knows. Everyone's like throwing spaghetti at the wall and like seeing what it looks like.
And especially nowadays, because it's like everything changes so quickly.
Oh my
I
God.
Feel like too, yes. Where it's like you could know one thing and then like a week later, but no, you're supposed to do this
no week. Actually it's this, but yes,
so yeah, I think yeah, it's a good, very good, very good observation. I think we're all just trying our best and
yeah,
hoping it's okay.
Yeah, well, it's working for Metroland, and clearly it's also working for Erie, because you're coming off of two Eddies, bro.
That's true. Yeah,
how'd that feel,
man? It felt really good.
Yeah.
It's been a ride. That whole band has been a ride. But not only that, it's just for myself personally, having been doing this thing for so long.
Yeah,
like I mean, if you can track it all the way back to freaking middle school, you could. I mean, those were bands by the definition of there were people that were playing quote unquote music together. Seriousness,
sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say, and in all seriousness, like college, you know, at least from there, it was kind of like the big pursuit of like, oh, trying to do this thing, like serious band, big ol' thing, whatever.
Serious band, big ol' thing.
Yeah.
Big ol' whatever.
Words are tough for me.
I know. Yeah, great. I'm glad you're on a podcast.
I know. This is why I've thought about hosting a podcast many times and never done it.
I never did
like,
it.
I don't. Yeah.
I was actually just thinking. I'm like, I can hear your voice in my headphones, obviously, and I'm like, oh, you have like a really soothing voice. You could have a podcast. That's what I was just thinking. But
I mumble
also,
a lot.
I feel like the last thing you need is another thing.
Nope.
Like I'm here to tell you, like, don't do it.
Thank you. Well, that so
like,
my
please don't
going back to Metroland, that Confessions from the Underground column was always supposed to be a podcast. I actually had brought this idea.
That's right, you told me that. Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
I brought this idea to Andy. I mean, it's got to be almost 2 years ago at this point.
Wow.
Because I had this idea of kind of doing these topics and stuff, but I always got hung up on the fact that it's like, oh, it's I hate the sound of my own voice, and I hate speaking. I
hate the sound of mine. I hate it. I'm like, I can't believe anyone's gonna listen to this, because I couldn't. I just couldn't do it. And I also like don't want to be that like annoying podcast. Like I'm trying. Okay, basically, I'm not trying to throw shade in my like third podcast episode, but I'm essentially trying to be the better part of Pete Holmes. Have you ever listened to his podcast?
A little bit, not like religiously. I have my go on.
Sorry. Yeah, no, what?
I was just gonna say I have my barometer of podcasts that like I look to from like an interview perspective,
which is
Smartless. I don't know if you listen to that.
Oh my god, yes.
But that is
I love Smartless.
So when I was growing up in high school in Connecticut, I obviously had, you know, like,
oh, you're from Connecticut.
I'm from Connecticut. Yeah.
Okay, so, cool. I didn't want to like ask you the questions that like everyone else.
Oh no, it's fine.
Asks you, but I am like, I actually don't know anything about your life.
Well, perfect. Okay.
We've just like met each other and then we've just gone from here.
Yeah. From here forward. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Okay. Sorry.
That's okay.
Whoa. Now I'm adjusting to not hearing you in my head. Okay.
So yeah, I grew up in Connecticut. But yeah, when I was in high school, we had this radio station that always played, just the kind of music that we were into. It was kind of like the EQX of our Connecticut area.
Yes.
Okay, but cool. At some point they like sold, like, I don't even know what happened. I can't remember the story, but they sold like the morning show to like one of those bigger iHeartRadios, whatever the version of that was. And Howard Stern was on in the morning, and which is a very strange thing to say, but he was always a very good like interviewer. And
No, 100%. Yeah. Yes. So he's problematic, but he's a good interviewer.
Exactly. Yeah. So I would wake up, my alarm would be set to that radio station. I started waking up to him, and it was always one of those things where, like, I'd wake up and I'd start my day off with like this kind of like moment of levity. Right.
Oh.
And fast forward to now.
I love that.
Every Monday, there's a new smart list that comes out. So I get in my car, start my work week, and I put that on. And it feels like this kind of very similar moment where it's like, okay, starting the work week off with some laughs and this and that. And that's, I feel like podcasts in general have really come to fruition in this time, and they've been very beneficial in that respect. It's just like kind of like a nice release.
Oh, 100%. And I also know like there are people who wait for their podcasts like it's like it feels like the feeling that like waiting for the Lost episode weekly on Wednesday nights like gave you when you were like in high school or whatever. Like I was in high school when that came out, so it's like that feels the same to me.
God, you and my wife Lauren, for the people listening, you guys should be best friends.
I know. I really feel
just
like
made
that.
Made a Lost reference. You made a podcast release reference.
Yeah,
perfect.
Yeah, I'm like, I really feel like we would be best friends.
100%.
Like, we were talking about books on Sunday, and I was like, this is all I ever want to do, and all I ever want to talk about.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is the friendship I need. But awesome. Yeah, it's incredible. I was at a guitar lesson this morning. I'm taking guitar lessons. Did I tell you that?
You did not.
Yeah,
oh, nice.
I'm taking guitar lessons.
That's awesome.
I'm really excited about it. But my friend is teaching me.
Cool.
And so I was there, and I walk out, and there's this book in the garage just like sitting wherever, and I look at it, and I'm like, and it's like that book is like very intense, and I like look at this book and I'm like, Alex, why do you have this book here? And it's just lying around. You have children. You can't leave this book around. Like, it's like, you gotta put this book away. Like, what are you doing, bro? He's like, oh, I don't know, I got it from my wife last year, she said she really liked it. I was like, you should read this book.
Oh my god.
But anyway, yeah,
it's funny whenever my wife is reading, she'll kind of read throughout the house, right? So when she works from home, she'll be reading downstairs in the kitchen, and whenever, and sometimes like the book will be sitting on the counter, and then my 8-year-old will come into the room and like pick up the book and just jokingly like read the title and like reference it like later.
Yes.
And like never knows like what the book is, obviously. Yes. But just the fact that she's like, there was one recently, it was like I was like, "Oh, mom! Mom, how's P.S. I hate you?" And she just goes around like saying it. And it's just,
P.S. I hate you. P.S. I hate you. I love it.
It's pretty funny.
I'm assuming it's an enemies to lovers romance. That's what I'm assuming. But
No clue. I'm a.
But yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
No. But yeah. But anyway. But actually, so talking about you being like dad, husband, working for Metroland, having a band, having a full time day job. You work full time, right?
I do. Yeah.
I literally like, I don't understand your life.
That makes two of us.
How you like? I don't understand like how you balance it. Like I was literally thinking about it probably too much, but I was like really thinking about it on my drive over here today. And I was like, what are we going to talk about? And I was just like, I need to ask him, like, how are you finding balance?
You know, some days are better than others. Most days I feel like I'm not well. I just wake up and then all of a sudden it's bedtime and I'm like, oh, I did a lot of things today, while also simultaneously feeling like I didn't do enough, which is like a constant like problem in my brain.
Feel that.
Right.
I think that a lot of us do, especially because it's just like hustle culture.
It really is. Yeah. It really is. And it's like, and I'm always, I'm like a to-do list guy too. Where it's
oh my
like,
God,
so,
me too. Oh my God. Like, the best dopamine hit.
So it's like, So it's like these massive lists of things, and like, you know, go through and check off five or six of them, whatever, and it, yeah, and it feels good. And then I see the rest list, and I'm like, oh, there's still 84 things on this.
No,
list.
You know, it's like, I make short lists. Yeah, I make a lot of short lists.
I'm trying to find the best method for it, but yeah, in terms of balance, I'm very lucky in the sense that like my day job is super flexible in that like no one's really ever breathing down your neck. It's very cool. Much about like, if you're getting your shit done, that's what we're paying you for. It's not
okay,
we're not paying you to be sitting in this seat for eight, nine hours a day, yeah, right? Like if you get your work done in four, then
great,
good yeah, for you. Like, be available.
Yes.
But like, we don't want you here twiddling your thumbs. So
right. Okay. That's great.
It really is, and I'm very. It's definitely not something I ever thought I'd be doing. But at the same time, the culture is so good and healthy.
What are you doing?
So I work for a company that makes. This is gonna be very hard to explain, but they make training equipment for firefighters.
Oh.
So.
Oh my God! I thought that you like wrote for a magazine.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. Anyway, we'll get into that.
Oh,
in
wait,
second.
I do that too.
No, not anymore. Not anymore. Not anymore.
Oh my God.
That was a passion thing. That wasn't like an income thing. That was just But okay. No. So yeah, that's what my data. I'm kind of in like purchasing. To sum it up very briefly, I basically just I find shit and then I make sure that we have those things to build what we make.
Wow.
It's very boring, but
no, but like also there's like something to be said for a day job that's just like, I don't have to be on the whole time. Like that's huge.
And that was phrased really perfectly because like, yeah, there was, I was always, my last job was a very similar kind of like desk job environment. And I was always going home like bored and stuff like that. And nowadays with so much other things going on, it's like, okay, I'm actually okay.
Yeah.
Being bored with this
yes
particular thing.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Because like everything else is exciting enough.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So
yeah.
Yeah. So being able to kind of like also, you know, having the ability to work from home is helpful. So I can kind of,
oh my God, that's huge.
Do certain things, double dip sometimes. And
I know.
Okay,
I think you technically interviewed me like during a work day.
Yeah.
Once,
that's
so,
what,
yeah.
And that's what, like, honestly,
it's
like,
the best.
Like the best time for me to do interviews is like lunch breaks. Right.
Yes,
cause I have that
yes
hour and I'm like, oh, this is, I mean, I don't really have, I don't.
If you're working from home, it's like, I don't know, I've already been doing my break whenever I want.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
yeah.
I mean, and yeah, and then balance, I mean, and then balancing the family stuff, it's like, it's that's definitely where it gets tricky because it's like, it's, that's always the one that you wish you had more time for.
Yes.
You know, and yeah. I'm very lucky to have like a very patient wife who like understands everything I have going on
yes
and stuff like that and is really,
and is like supportive of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I know it's definitely tasked her with a lot with like the kids and everything else that goes into it, but it's. When I'm there, I try and be as there as possible, which is also
yeah
becoming increasingly harder being present, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah. We want to talk about that.
So, sure.
I also like literally,
how
like,
long do you have?
I know. Well, we have about 45 minutes, but okay. Because like, to be honest, like how we know each other is like, I feel like, I don't know how we met, but then all of a sudden it was just like, I don't know, we met. And then it was like, now we're exchanging. I send 10-minute voice memos. You send 3-minute. But we just like now send voice memos like back and forth to each other
yeah
and like chat about things just so people know, like whatever. And I feel like we just, I don't know what it was, but I feel like we just, like I said at the beginning, like I feel like we just met and then it was like, now we're in it.
Now we're friends.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it just felt like immediate. Like I don't ever feel like there was ever a time where we were like, oh, like we're kind of like dancing around the being friends thing. Like,
yeah,
you know how like when you first meet like a friend and then you're like, I won't tell you all of my shit right away. Like we just dove right into like, here's all of my shit, you know? Like,
well, I think we very quick, or at least I very quickly realized that you're a very easy person to talk to and like exchange that information with. So
yeah,
you're so good at just like taking whatever these trauma dumps are that like I throw at
I,
you.
I like love them. Yeah. I'm like more. No, I'm just kidding.
And then you,
please,
you,
I don't want you to have more trauma.
No. You feed me back that's like, I don't know if you know, but it's like, it's very just like very good like wisdom in that moment that like I appreciate and I take to heart and it's
yeah
I think about it a lot. I really, really
aww
do. But yeah,
we've
I
also talked some major shit.
We
too,
have.
But
we've talked some major shit. Yeah. But yeah, going back to like how we met, like I can't pinpoint that moment either. I just know that I know that we got connected because of Justin Friello. Because we were,
he's our connecting piece?
Yeah, technically. Because I've known him
for
a while. I think you've known him for a while too, right? Kind of, or no?
Kind of, like, we were kind of in, like, weird parallel universe lines, because his, like, bandmate dated my best friend's sister for, like, a while.
Oh, okay.
So then we were kind of running in the same circles without knowing it.
So that's really funny, because I actually thought you guys were good friends, and that's kind of...
No,
kinda,
not really, no. But then he just, like, asked me to do, like, music stuff with him.
Yeah. Okay. So he had talked about you a few times, but then we were supposed to do that Christmas show together year.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. Yes.
And
then there was
like that giant snowstorm.
Yeah. And it was like the only snowstorm that was ever in Mechanicville.
Yep.
And I like literally couldn't leave my house. Like I was just like, I can't drive in this. It's terrible. And you all were like, it's fine over here. And I was like, it is bad over here. It was really bad.
And it wasn't really that fine. It was every time we've played the Linda, there's been either like a heat wave or an actual snowstorm.
Oh,
where,
my God. Anyway.
But yeah, so Justin booked that, and then I think that's kind of how we like started talking, at least. Mm. And then I don't know what happened from there, but yeah, it was very quick. Like, oh, this is a safe person.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. That's a perfect way to put it. Yeah. Yeah. And I know, like, we talked about this like the last time I saw you, whatever, and I was like, if you ever told anyone the things that I've told you, like, people would hate me. Like, it would be terrible. And you were like, no. Like, you could do the same. So, like, if we go down, we go down
together.
This
is a mutually destructive relationship.
Yes.
Anyone listening to this is going to think very strange things, and it's really not that bad.
No, it's really not at all.
Yeah, we trauma dump on each other.
Yeah, we do. We do. But so
that's great.
So we were then just talking about, you were like, it's getting harder and harder to be present.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you want to speak to that? And also, like, anything that, like, you say, like, we can always send this to you after. And, like, if you want to take anything out, we can always take anything out. So
sounds good. Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, no. I mean, it's just, I feel like it's a universal thing these days. More than anything, it's really hard to be present in a moment. And it's definitely, it's cliche as hell, but it comes down to, like, being attached to this thing in our pockets at all times and just having access and this, like, you know, it's things like you get a message and you have to respond immediately, right? Mm. And I'm, you know, that's another thing that's like kind of been a struggle as well. But it's just really hard to, I guess, stay focused on. I'm thinking of things like, you know, playing with my kids, right? Where it was a lot easier 5-6 years ago, and maybe that just comes with age. But it's like you're sitting there and you're like, I have no idea what this little person is doing right now, like where their imagination's at, because I am not at that level. I am like, my brain is like here, but it is also in like 12 different places. Yeah. Like, oh, did I send this email for work? Oh, I have to do this article. Oh, I should probably plug this show that I'm playing in 2 days and blah, blah, blah. You know, all these other things that like, you can't just focus on the one thing in front of you.
Yes.
And so it's definitely not gotten better being present, you know. It's just,
yes.
So
yeah, I don't think it's really. I don't. Yeah. I mean, I was just gonna say I don't ever like to put like blanket statements on things, but I was just gonna say I don't think it's gotten better for anybody. Like,
yeah.
I think it's just gotten like you have to like really choose to be present, and like I just try to be really like deliberate with my time now. And like even so, on Tuesday I was like, oh yeah, I got in a car accident on Monday night. Rear-ended. So dumb. But I got rear-ended, and then like Tuesday felt like fucking garbage, like all day. And I like literally laid on the couch in like a TikTok hole for like an hour and a half. JP gets home and goes, Angelina. And I was like, what? He's like, I opened TikTok. I have 72 messages from
God.
You. Sorry. I was like, it's been over 3 days. We like haven't been able, because like what we do is we like send each other TikToks and then we sit and like watch them together. And
that is so adorable.
It's
oh my God.
Really, I like love it. I love it. It's
awesome.
Like one of my favorite things. Like it's become like, okay, like maybe we don't want to watch a show, but like we want to go to bed, but like we don't want to like be asleep yet. And then we're like, TikToks?
Oh,
I was like, it's been like 3 days. That's like over a culmination of like 3 days. And he's like, I know. But it was just like so funny. But
that's great.
I know. But it's like, even that day, like I was just sitting there for like an hour and a half, and like I consider myself a person who's not really attached to my phone. Like even you saying like, oh my God, I get this message and then I immediately have to answer it. I get a message and then I'm like, I'll answer that later. Swipe it away, forget.
And you know what? Honestly, I have learned a little bit from you in that respect. Like especially because the other day when you said something similar to me, it's like, you know, just take the time. Like this doesn't need to happen right now. And I have honestly been these last like few weeks like. And it just hasn't even been on purpose. It's just been like, oh my God, I have zero bandwidth to take the 10 seconds it would take to respond to this person right now.
Yep.
And then 2 days later, I'm like, oh yeah, never wrote back to my dad, right?
I know!
But it's like,
I
just, I don't have the mental wherewithal right now to do that.
Yes.
And I love that point that you made about just kind of giving yourself the grace to like be okay with that.
Yeah.
Because it's not life or death.
Right. Because then also what happens is like you already don't have the bandwidth for it. And then you like make yourself feel guilty about like not answering it. So then you just like you dig your hole just like deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into feeling like fucking garbage.
Yes. That is 100%.
Yeah.
And then also on the flip side, if you do give into that and you respond to that, you're like, okay, I got to do it. Just get over the hump. It's painful, but I'm just going to respond to the message.
Yeah.
Then there's all the follow-up messages. Oh my God, and then you're in a conversation.
Exactly. And then, and now, like, how did I get here? Oh, I put myself here.
Yes.
I did this.
And
I did this.
And that's kind of, I guess, the vibe is like looking ahead and thinking like, oh, do I really want to be in this? Like, where is this conversation going to go?
You're already thinking.
I mean, I'm trying. This is a recent development, but yes, I don't know. It's you seem to have a really good grasp on that, though. Like, just kind of, again, to your point, like finding those purposeful moments to be present, taking the time to rest when you need it.
I mean, I'm only really good at that because, like, having had COVID and, like, having had my body, like, literally give out on me.
Yeah.
Like, I think if, like, when I got COVID, so that was, like, 2021, and 2 years prior to that, my grandfather passed away and my mom got cancer in the same year. So it was like brain cancer. So it was like we were all like, oh, this is like a death sentence. So it was kind of like we were ready. Like I was kind of already prepping. Like at that point in my brain, I was like, okay, like I need to be around my family more, whatever. But my mom owned a business. So I was like, well, this is what I'm going to do because everyone else is like going to take her to her appointments and like do that kind of thing. So I'll go and I'll like run the business. So I was like 25 or something and working 6 days a week and gigging like, and I was working like I was driving into Saratoga and working 8 hour days plus because like one of the days was like a long day. So I was working like 8 hour days plus like every day, and then like most of the time going in on a Sunday anyway because it's like, oh well, we need somebody needs balloons on a Sunday, so I have to go in and get these fucking balloons, right? So it's like, and then I'm also like, I had just started at that point like playing gigs, so I'm out doing bar gigs, like I'm like, and I know everyone does this, but I'm working like 10 to 6 and then playing gigs like 7 to 10 like multiple times a week, like doing that, and I was just going and going and going and going and going, and then like I got COVID and then my body was like, we can't,
yeah,
like we cannot keep doing this. So I just like burned out hard, like so hard in so many ways, because I was just like disassociating and rolling through my life and just like waking up every day. Like I think about it and I'm like, holy shit, like I wasn't present at all. I don't think I've been present since college, to be honest, but that's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
So I just feel like having that happen to me just like made me realize, I was like, oh, literally like nothing, even music, my career, nothing, maybe just like mine and JP's relationship, but like nothing is more important than like my physical and mental health. Like I literally feel like that is my life lesson.
Yeah
Like I'm not kidding, like I was like, I came here, my karma to burn off is like learning that like I have to take care of myself because like you only have one body.
And that's so mature, or that's a terrible word for it, but you know what I mean, like that's just such a good realization, you know what I mean? Like,
but it's also hard because then I'm like, I wish, like I look at like you guys and you guys are just like burning the candle at both ends, like doing all these things, and then I'm just like, and then I go home and I'm like, you know, I have a few different day jobs,
yeah,
but they're all pretty flexible, so I have a decent amount of downtime. Some days, some weeks, it kind of goes back and forth, but I was just like, and then I start to feel like, well, shouldn't I be doing more? Don't I have to do more? And then I have to remind myself like, no.
Yeah.
Like I have to be like, no, Angelina, like, because if I start to stack more on, I'll just fail at everything else. Like everything else will start to crumble beneath me. Like the things that actually matter, I will then start to not be able to do well.
It's really crazy hearing like your sequence of events, because it's almost like the reverse of mine, where I never had that really like grind before like COVID, but I started having my health issues in like 2018.
Okay.
And years later, that's when my life started picking up. That's when like the band started doing more things and Metrolink came out and this and that. It's only within like these last couple years that like...
Really? I feel like Erie's just always been like... Like,
and
I
it's
feel like...
it's funny. And I feel like someone said this to me once, like the internet really makes things look... a lot bigger than they are. You know what I mean? And like I've had people say to me before, I'm like, nah, I mean, not really, we're just like four well, no, no, three dads, like, just, you know what I mean? Like
three dads and an Alec.
Three dads and an Alec. just doing what we can, you know what
right.
I mean? But when everything started stacking up, it was after all that. So now it's
wow.
like, in my mind, it's like, oh, that's all catching up to with me now.
Yeah.
But probably should have taken care of the other stuff better first and like, recognized the limits ahead of time. And so now it's all kind of coming to a head, you
but
know?
But you also like can't, yeah. You couldn't have imagined that Metroland would be a thing now. Like, you couldn't have
no.
known that. You couldn't have known, like, the gigs that you would have for Erie now. Like, you can't, you also can't, like, put that pressure on yourself.
Yeah.
To be like,
yeah.
I should have seen the future. Like, absolutely
well, yeah.
not. You know, absolutely not. But then it's just like, it's like, to me, it's like getting to the point where then you start to recognize, like, something doesn't feel right. Like, I'm not okay. And then, like, making the change. And sometimes, like, that recognition of, like, I'm not okay. And then, like, the actual changes, it can take a year. It can take 2 years. It can take 3 years. You know what I mean? But it's,
yeah.
like, it's, like, having that realization, I think, is huge. Because then I think that's when you stop, like, disassociating from, like, your body and mind. And just, like, you know, like, because having that recognition of, like, oh, shit, like, I'm actually, like, not okay is, I think, like, a very important moment.
Yeah, and I started recognizing some sense of burnout with, like, music back in, like, 2023. It was right after we put out our second record, Suburban Mayhem.
Mm.
And that was, like, such... It was one of those times where it's, like, I've always been very into the whole recording side of things, right? Engineering
yeah.
and mixing and producing and all that.
Yeah.
And so that record, I did all of that.
Oh, my
and
God. You did?
Yeah. Well, I guess there was a couple tracks that were not mixed by me.
Wow.
But yeah. So.
Okay.
So
holy shit, dude.
So I did all of that.
Did you pay yourself for that, too?
No.
Correct.
No, just gave
yeah.
myself like a hernia. But it's
yeah.
okay. Yeah. Stress induced. Fucking whatever.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
But throughout that process, I started recognizing, and this was kind of some of the things that burnt me out, too, like mentally, was like I recognized, like, oh, there's some of this that I actually don't really like anymore. It became like it became a bit much and above that it was like I started recognizing like, oh, this is where my limitations are. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Where I'm like, I'm seeing these other people do these things. I'm like, oh, they know what they're doing.
Yes.
In 2023 and I'm still doing the things that I was doing in 2010 kind of thing. And there's a place for both,
yeah.
but recognizing that was like, oh shit, like so that whole process
wow.
like started off not to mention for that, and I don't mean to dive right into like a record here, I'm sorry, but
no, please.
That whole process started, we started writing the record in COVID, right? So none of us
yeah.
were really in the same room, and that made it really hard too.
Okay.
So we're all trying to get our ideas across and our points across, and no one's articulating well because no one's in the
Ugh.
Same room and this and that. And that became
yeah.
frustrating. And then so like by the end of that, it was like, oh, God, this is what burnout feels like. And I think that's the first time that I kind of recognized that.
Yes.
That feeling.
And do you feel like you came back from that?
A little bit. Yes. Yeah.
What did
well, yes.
What did you feel like you did to like come back from it?
Honestly, I left that record not knowing if I was going to make another one or at least
that.
Not for a very long time.
Yeah.
And this went on for a while, a little bit, months, whatever. I don't know time. I said that in the beginning. I don't know time. So, but eventually something just kind of clicked in my brain when I was like, oh shit, like write about that. Like maybe that's the thing to write about.
Love it. Like,
right?
Oh, I'm a songwriter. Duh.
Yeah. yeah. And I was also stuck like creatively too. I was like, I feel like I'm writing about the same shit like over and over and over again, like the same stories, the same things that have happened, the same things that are going on in the world.
Yes.
And then I was, so the two things kind of converged. I was like, oh, let's write about that. Let's write about all the shit that's really frustrating about being a musician.
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah. And hence.
And hence the latest Erie record. Yeah.
Yes.
So,
oh my God.
That's kind of what.
It was getting thinner. Like, that's like what that whole thing is about to me, that song. Like, I feel like it's, yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And it's so good. It's so good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
yeah.
But yeah,
that, what an amazing thing to do, because I think that, like, I would never do that. I would just be like, I'm so mad about this thing. Ah! And then I would just, like, be mad about it and journal about it. And then, like, 6 months later, start to write songs about it on accident. Because I don't really like think of myself as like a songwriter. I'm just kind of like, I do it when I like feel big feelings, you know.
That's just bizarre, like, to me. You don't think of yourself as a songwriter?
Because I still just feel like I'm just like doing it because like it makes me feel better about things that make
yeah.
me feel sad.
Oh man, that's wild to me because you're such an incredible songwriter too. It's thank you. It's always funny to hear people say certain things like that. You know what I mean?
I know.
But yeah, I don't know. That's kind of just always been what I do is like to process things is I just write music and it's not always the healthiest thing to do. I don't think, you know, there should be other outlets, but it's the only thing I know.
Right. And that you're like, I'm actually pretty good at this. It's kind of like it's kind of funny to think about songwriting being actually like a really terrible cyclic, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, what's that kind of really toxic relationship where you're like, oh, I should be using another vice. And then you're like, I'll just keep going back to this thing. I'll just keep doing it. But like, cause I remember reaching a point, like it was like after my mom's diagnosis where I was just like, okay, like before that I was like obviously writing, which is an outlet, and then like doing yoga. And then like I started meditation and like started all these things. And I was like, okay, cool. And then all of a sudden like my stressors upped, and then I was still doing the same kind of like stress release things. And then I was like, oh, like something isn't matching here. Like I need another thing because I'm losing my mind. And then it was like, oh, I'll stack on therapy, you know? And then it was like, that's what I need, like another way to like process life, because like all the shit that I'm going through right now is like what I'm doing alone, like, isn't enough.
Yeah. And I started thinking about that a lot lately too. And in recent months, it's like, God, I've really gotten into the cycle, like you just said, about like, I'm thinking back at how long I've been doing this. I mean, I've been writing songs since I was 12 years old, right?
Oh my God, really?
So it's like, yeah, I mean, that was kind of my first band, again, air quotes, but.
Right. No, it counts. It absolutely counts. Do you have, are any of the guys who are in Erie now, like, did you know them in high school?
No, not at all. I met, the oldest member of the band now would be Chad, who I met through Craigslist.
Get out.
I wrote the first Erie record in 2019. After my health stuff was going on. Some of my health stuff. There's so much health stuff. It's crazy. That would be a whole other podcast that we have to start.
Literally, I know.
About us talking about health. And I know. Neither of us are doctors. I know. Be perfect.
We bring doctors on.
And ask them all the questions.
That's what we do.
We wish we could.
Yep,
this is a great idea.
Mm-hmm. You heard it here. Don't steal it. I'm trademarking it now.
I was kind of in between bands, and I didn't want to go through that whole rigmarole of like finding a band and then like getting to know each other and like writing songs together. God. I'm like, I don't have the patience for this. So I recorded a record, and then I found the band after.
Whoa.
Found Chad on Craigslist, and he was looking for like a cover band just to do casually. And I was like, do you want to play some originals? He was like, oh yeah. So that was that. And then, I mean, honestly, like Levi, where I actually worked with him many years ago while I was in college. He ran the FYE down in Oneonta.
Okay.
And so I worked for him.
Yes.
And then I left and he did his own thing, and we kind of reconnected like a decade later. It was crazy.
Love that.
And then Alec just kind of met from around the scene. Yeah, so none of these, I mean, I grew up in Connecticut, so everyone I knew. One band member that I was in a band with in high school now plays bass for Dustin Lynch, the country star.
Yes. Get out.
Which is super weird because we were in like this really scrappy, shitty pop punk band.
Oh my God. And now he plays bass.
And I realized this because this was many years. A few years ago at this point, he posted a picture of himself on stage at fucking Madison Square Garden. I was like, you
stop.
Shit.
Oh my God.
We recorded
God,
our first
stop.
Demo on a 4-track in your
Get
parents' basement.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
So,
oh my God. That's crazy.
It is crazy. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is wild. So then, like, you're in Connecticut. How did you find your way over here?
I was one of those kids who, like, I didn't want to go to college because I just wanted to play in my band, right? And aww. I was actually a grade above everyone else in the band, and we had done some really cool things around the Connecticut scene for high schoolers, right?
Yeah,
we played some cool shows and this and that, and so I didn't really want to go to college. I was kind of stubborn about it. I was like, if I do, I want to kind of go for this, you know, recording or whatever kind of degree, and somehow found Oneonta. I don't know.
Oh my God.
Went there for music industry, audio engineering. It was the only school. It was the only school I applied to because I was a lazy little shit.
And oh my God!
Part of me regrets that. Part of me is like, you know what? I made so many cool connections and friends. Yeah. And people there, so
Totally. Yes.
But that's how I ended up there and then just stuck around.
Nice. So, yeah. Cool. Cool. That's cool. Wow. So when you walked in, like the first thing you said was like, it's been a week.
Yeah.
What, like what happened? Are you okay?
Oh yeah, I'm fine. It's just, just life stressors. And like I said, every day is kind of blending into the next one at the moment, just with everything going on.
Just
and,
rolling through it.
Yesterday was my work. So my wife and I alternate our work from home days. Yesterday was my work from home day. And she comes home at her normal time. She's like, huh, how you doing? How was your day? I didn't hear from you at all today. And I was like, oh shit.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Didn't even text you. We didn't even text each other. This is weird. What
oh
the hell
my
happened?
God.
What did I do today?
Right, you know? Right. Like, so, what even was this day? Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. It's one of those times where, you know, haven't been sleeping well. You know, I'm feeling my age more and more. You know, it's one of those things. Just not enough time in the day.
But, yeah, not enough time in the day for sure. Oh
but,
my God.
Yeah. So. Wow. That's my story, I guess.
I'm sticking to it.
That's my very short version of that story.
Yes, of that. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. But I just feel like, I don't know, but I'm just like, because a couple weeks ago you like sent me a voice memo and I was like listening to you talk and it was like literally like I like was listening to it and then like walked out into the kitchen. I was like cleaning the bathroom listening to your voice memo. But I'm like cleaning the bathroom listening to your voice memo. And I started to like cry, like listening to you talk. Like I was just like, oh my God, like my heart is like breaking. And I like walked out into the kitchen and like JP was there and I was just like, it's just crazy to me because you were just like, you were saying like, you were like, I'm just feeling like I have to answer everyone and I have to do these things and I have to do. And I just wanted to be like, I was like, you don't have to do shit, bro. Like nobody else, but like your family is like, that's what comes first. You know what I mean? And I was just thinking about like you and it was just like, and I hear this a lot where people are just like, I just feel like I like don't have friends who are like chill about me not answering them and like maybe not being around. And I'm just like, it literally like hurts my soul that there are people who are like experiencing friendships like that, because I'm just like, fuck them. Fuck them all. You know what I mean? Cause like just never, ever, 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 ever like feel pressure to ever answer like me or whatever. You know what I mean? But I'm just like, I just was like listening to you speak and you sounded so like, just like down. And I was just like, I'm getting like choked up right now because I was just like, I'm like, my heart is breaking because I'm like, who's hurting him? You know, like I'm like, everybody back off.
It's like, and it's probably me. No, it's actually really wild to hear you bring that up because like, I honestly don't even remember a lot of what I said in that because like, and the things that you just meant first of all, I have to say on the record, I don't really have friends in my life who are like that. No one has complained to me about, oh, you're not getting back to me and this and that.
Yeah,
that
it's just in your
that is completely self-inflicted. Yeah. And I recognize that and I want to make sure like everyone's been very at least no one's complained to my face that
yeah it's valid. Yeah.
But it's really interesting hearing you describe, because again, it was a very weird couple weeks where like I was literally like what you just described was probably like the least of it.
Wow.
I was in this state of mind, and I don't really mind talking about this because I do think it's a little it's somewhat interesting to think about how our brains kind of process things.
100%.
It was the darkest depression that I have ever felt in my life, and I've dealt with depression for a very long time, and I know what that feels like. I know how to navigate it. I will get low for days at a time, and I'm like, okay, I'm a little depressed right now, and things are a little overwhelming, and this and that. This was like the biggest fucking black cloud was hovering over me, and like the worst thing in the world was about to happen.
Oh my
God. I didn't
know
what that was. I was breaking down, crying multiple times a day. I was paranoid as fuck. I was nauseous 24/7. I don't know if this was like, there's a number of things that this could have been, right? Stress could have played a role in it. There was some medication things that were going on at the time that like, I'm still kind of convinced was part of what was going on, but I have no idea. I have no idea what's happening. I did not recognize myself. And it was really scary. It was
you played like multiple gigs in the middle of
it. It was
too.
Really fucking scary.
Like we played a gig together, which is crazy.
We did. It was right kind of before all this happened. Like I had that moment that I talked to you about where like I had that kind of like panic attack in my car a few days before that gig.
Yeah.
That seemed like it was like a one and done thing. Mm-hmm. Then like a day or two after our gig together, it was like, oh, here's another one, and it's not going to stop for almost 2 weeks.
Oh my God.
I can't even describe it any better than that. It was very bizarre. I mean, I was able to get in with like my therapist relatively quickly. I even went to like my primary. I was like, what the fuck is going on with my body right now? Because like I'm shaking, I'm nauseous. Like, what is going on?
God.
And, I mean, like, no joke, I was one Sunday morning, like, Lauren goes grocery shopping every Sunday morning, I'm home with the kids, we do whatever, we have breakfast, and I could not. And she left, and like 5 minutes later, I'm like, I need to go lay on the couch, and I was just sobbing, and my kids are like, coming over to me like, I'm gonna cry. Yeah. But my 8-year-old comes over with like this popsicle stick that she had colored on with crayon. And it was the simplest, stupid thing. But she wrote, "We love you" on it. And just fucking slayed me.
Oh, my God.
I was like, oh, shit. Like, when she came over, I was literally on my phone texting with a, like, mental health crisis hotline. I've never done that before in my life. But in that moment, I was like, I need to do this right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and she came over and I was like, oh, fuck. Like, and that is why I'm so, like, just so enamored with my kids because they like do so much for me.
Right.
They don't even realize, you know? So,
oh my God.
So that was my wild story.
Oh my God.
Thanks for making me emotional.
I'm sorry.
You did warn me. So it's fine.
I told you. Yeah. That is like one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard in my whole life. I feel like, wow. Okay. Oof. Okay. And I feel like, sorry.
No, you're good. You're good.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. That's a huge thing. And I just feel like what a beautiful thing. And I'm a terrible person because my first thought was, well, that'll make a great line in a song. Terrible. It's terrible. But you also have, actually, I'm wondering, do we have time for one song? Would you want to play that song that you wrote about like your kids that you played at the gig that we did at the Hollow?
Oh God, I could try. Yeah, I haven't prepared it, but yes.
Yeah,
I could.
We can try a couple times or whatever.
Sure. Okay.
I just love it, and I feel like it would be a great way to like close out this moment.
Thank you.
Song is beautiful. TJ, that song is so good.
I've been writing some stuff that like isn't really for Erie, right? It's very like stripped down. Mm. And it was honestly like knowing I had these types of gigs coming up, I was like, oh, I should try and write some more stuff like that and try things out, because I've never done that before. I've always been like, I don't want to play something when it's not finished because I'm afraid it's gonna just tank, right? Mm. But
oh, that's fascinating. No, I'm like, you gotta work it out, right? Like that's how I feel. Is I'm just like, I miss open mics for that reason, because I'm like, that's always where I'd go with like half finished songs or like kind of their songs, and then be like, oh, how does this feel like live? Because it feels so different live than when you're just like playing it in your basement or in your room or whatever, you know.
And that's so true. That's and I never really recognized or understood the value in doing that. And also, I never really had too many opportunities to play these types of solo gigs, and I really enjoy them. Like,
oh,
this
they're great, right?
Kind of how all of my songs start is in this fashion, right? So being able to
doing that gig too, I was like, I like looked over at you and like you're like playing harmonica, and I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, I was like, where did this come from? Like, you have this whole side of you. Like, I had no idea. Like, I was just like, what? Like, it was shocking to me that I was like, you like get up on stage and lead like this like pop punk band, right? Like this hard, like, and then all of a sudden you're like sitting over there just like playing these songs about like your daughters with your harmonica, and I was like, oh my God, like what? Like side of you I'd never seen before.
Sometimes I forget that like people don't know about me, but yeah, from 2012 to like 2017, I mean, that was what I was in, like a folk rock band, you know.
That
I was doing
crazy,
very stripped down stuff, and like that's honestly how I met Justin, just to full circle this for a second. Was like our bands were playing together at the time we met him, and we just kind of hit it off, and
wow.
like I mean, our band was like nothing compared to like what those guys were doing. That shit was
it was crazy. Yeah,
amazing.
It was wild.
Incredible. Shout out to Stockade Kids.
Stockade Kids.
But,
yeah, oh my
but
God.
Yeah, our that's I mean, my you know, Lauren, who's now my wife, was in that band with me, and we were doing these like folky kind of songs together.
So cool.
And
I love that. So, there's nothing better than like writing with your person, or like making music with your person.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we did. And then you know, I miss doing it. It's been 8. We haven't been able to do it.
Yeah,
you know, life and kids and all that stuff.
Right.
But like it was a really special. It's kind of what bonded us in the first place, was like
of
being
course.
Able to do this. So
yes, yes. Yeah. Oh my God, amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you for being here, and thank you for doing this.
Of course. Thank you. This was a real treat. Like, I love having conversations with you.
I know. Right back at you.
On our own. But doing it in like this setting is really cool. Also really cool to like be on this side of an interview.
Yeah, for you
so,
to
like,
I know I don't
thank
even
you.
I don't even sorry, I don't even really feel like I actually interviewed you. Like
No, I like the conversation format.
Yes. I keep like being like hitting up people, and then I'm like, I'm gonna interview, and I'm like, interview's a strong word. I'm like, we're gonna chat. We're gonna yap.
I much prefer this, and don't get me wrong. I love talking about like the craft and like the songs. But at some point, it's like the questions. I like the questions that go deeper than just like, oh, what are your influences? Like, what inspired this?
Right,
and this and that.
Right.
Like,
because it's kind of like that's well, and that's what your article is, right? It's deeper than all of those things. Like that's what you're doing with what you're doing. So
that's what I'm trying to do, right? Is
yeah.
get to more of that.
Yes.
Because it is nice to talk about. Talk about the songs, talk about the music, this and that, but it's also nice to just talk about the musicians as people.
Yes, and I think that this is a more common conversation that's happening. Like, even on my drive over here, my brother and I, like, Snapchat each other back and forth, and he was talking about Aesop Rock, and I guess he posted something on his Instagram story the other day, and it was just, like, an Ask Me Anything kind of thing, mm-hmm. and this girl was, like, touring, because I guess he doesn't tour. I didn't know this about him, mm-hmm. and he posted this whole thing on his Instagram story and was, like, I guess he releases an album every like 1 to 2 years. And when he does it, it's like thematically beautiful. Like he
okay.
does this whole thing and then releases the album, and the album has some kind of a theme. And then all of the merch and all of the stuff that's released associated with it is all like under this theme, and it's all designed, and it's all like, it's like a whole, he like redesigns his whole image like every time he releases an album.
Oh man, that's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he's like, I can only do that because I don't tour. And he was like, he said this whole thing in this Instagram story and was like, I like at first toured because it helps you get your name out or whatever. And he's like, but now like if I had tour dates, I would be looking at them in the future and it would just be like this dark cloud hanging over me, just giving me immense amounts of anxiety and depression. So like I can either do that and I can be that, or I can keep giving you good music. And I was like, whoa. And I just feel like these conversations about like what it is to be a musician are also so important because it's such a weird thing.
Yeah, especially from guys like that, like these, you know, these nationally touring artists. It just reminded me
or
I was,
not touring artists
or yeah, yeah, sorry, thank you. Yes, I had just listened to an interview that Justin Vernon from Bon Iver mm-hmm. did with Zane Lowe, who is by far the best interviewer. Oh my God, he's like the Apple Music kind of guy. He does all these interviews, but he is hands down the best interviewer in music.
Cool. Oh my
like
God.
Just,
okay.
He got it. Yeah, check it out. But
okay.
But Justin was talking about how very similarly. He's like, yeah, I was touring, and I was touring for this reason. Then I quickly realized like, what? Why am I doing this? Like, I'm kind of just perpetuating the cycle of not being happy. And then at the end of the tour, you're gonna go write more sad songs, and then you're gonna go play more sad songs. Like, oh, maybe this is like part of the issue, right?
Yes.
So it just reminded me of that. But
yeah, totally. No, but I just feel like we're all also like the majority of us are just like a bunch of introverts, like doing an extrovert's job.
That is so true. What a tagline.
We're just
introverts doing extrovert things.
Yes, that's what this podcast
that's
is
your
called.
Podcast right there.
100%. It's actually called Two Normal People. I don't know if I told you that yet, but
you did not. That's
yeah,
right. That's very gracious of you to invite me on a podcast.
No, loved having you.
Two Normal People.
Thank you. Like literally, I'm just like
you.
Selfishly, I was like, I just want to hang out with TJ.
I
you know, that's
it.
How I feel about everyone I'm interviewing. Is I'm just like, I just want to be able to see people.
Right. Exactly.
And this gives us a reason for all of us to get together and feel like good about it. Somehow it's easier. I don't know than just being
it.
Like, let's get coffee. I don't know. But anyway, but it was a pleasure.
Absolute
Thank
pleasure
so
as always. You're welcome. Thank you for having me. Yeah.
Absolutely. Literally anytime.
Sounds good.
Cool.
This is One Day. Little chalk on the driveway, little crayon on the walls, on
those made-up expressions when they're learning how to talk. Crying out in the nighttime, helping calming them down. Those presents on birthdays with the family gathered round. They say one day, one day you're gonna miss this. And they say one day, one day you're gonna miss this. On the piles of artwork from the grade school class, little paint on the new clothes, little dirt on their ass. In the movies on Fridays, Saturday cartoons, eating rides to a friend's house, need a mess of their rooms. Say one day, one day you're gonna miss this. And they say one, one day you're gonna miss this. Yeah, one day you're gonna miss this. One day you're gonna miss this. Up in the morning on December 25th, all the magic in the house, wish I can bottle that shit. Killing time during lockdown, uncertainty inbound. All those games that we made up, wish we had time for them now. I knew one day, one day I would miss this. One day I would miss this.
So good! I just love it. I just love it.
Thank you.
Fucking great song.
Thank you. Shit.
Yep.
Thank you.
Oh my God.
Talking to normal people.